It's great to be here today. Tomorrow at Nova, site of WIP's Full Court Frenzy. Bunch of basketball activities going on in the Pavilion's court while we do our show. You can participate in some of them. Half court shot, big game and knockout. Now you got to be there obviously to win. People will be chosen at random to participate. Got to be 18 or older to be on the court to play. But get yourself out to Villanova tomorrow. Bring the kids. They can watch. And all of this to help hopefully raise a lot of money in the fight against cancer through the Big Five's association with Coaches Versus Cancer and money directly going then to the American Cancer Society. You can make a direct donation today, tomorrow, frankly, any day. PhillyCVC.org. That's the website, PhillyCVC.org. Now, I just sent you guys a text message with the brackets as we picked them about an hour ago. What stands out to you, good or bad, about people's chances here to, you know, in the free throw shooting contest to, as they say in the tournament, survive and advance? And ultimately, you know, if I win this thing, I'm cutting down Villanova's net tomorrow. So well, Seltzer, bring a ladder.
Yeah,
bring a ladder.
My initial, if I just look at it and I'm sizing it all up, I have like one big takeaway.
What's that?
You're losing. That's like my only big takeaway.
So N'Kobe Dean in the first competition for me, and then in all likelihood, Harold Jensen in the next round.
I am intrigued by the Jack Fritz Pat Carroll matchup.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I think Pat's going to smoke him, but I can't wait.
I hope so. Mike Quick and John Clark, another good battle in there.
Well, John Clark's a great tennis player. I don't know is he a great basketball player?
He's tall.
I do not know.
That helps. He is tall. Yeah. He's very tall.
But you know, a lot of tall people play basketball just because, you know, the coach says, "Get in there, fifth grader," but they have no skill.
No.
You know, so does John Clark have skill? I don't know.
This is a huge embarrassment for the Hammer when you go out in the second round.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be bad.
I mean,
or the first round.
You
might not make it to the second round. You're giving it to N'Kobe Dean. Absolutely
could
beat him at free
throws. You're right, Jimmy. I should not look past N'Kobe. There's a very good chance N'Kobe Dean has skills. You don't see other guys from the Eagles, you know, football guys, lining up to go shoot baskets. If you are asking to shoot under normal circumstances as a professional athlete, you're good.
Generally true. I need Ray's assessment here. So Ray, I did say something about 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, Hammer!
Said something that I don't know. Maybe I'll stand by. Maybe not. Would it be obnoxious, Ray, if I win this thing? Would it be obnoxious to actually cut down the net?
Yeah, of course.
it's
obnoxious you even thinking of doing it, much less doing it.
Cut down the net.
Can you imagine cutting down the net?
Joe, that would be...
I don't think
this is an absurd hypothetical. You're not winning. Yeah, go for it. I'll speak for Villanova. Cut down the net, no problem.
I'm sure WIP will reimburse them for a net.
Sure, no problem.
I think probably costs $3.
If you win, I will take the hit. If anyone has any issues, you can cut down the net.
All right. Well, Seltzer, tomorrow morning when you get there, I need you to identify the ladder and scissors. Ladder and scissors.
Now, the last time you did one of these foul shooting things...
Yes.
For the public.
Yes.
Right. You did very well. You made, you took 50 shots. How many did you make?
So we've done it twice. The first time I made 38 shots out of 50 for 76%.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Last time I made 36 out of 50 for 72. I'm going in the wrong direction.
68% is what he's looking at this year. If it sticks in the same trajectory, or you're heading down to 68.
Well, listen, that won't get it done. I mean, you know how great a shooter Mike Vreeswijk was, Ray.
Yeah, Mr. 3 points.
And Harold Jensen. I mean, there's
Harold Jensen.
Is Vreeswijk in your bracket?
Vreeswijk is he's like at the top of the bracket. So no, he would be on the other side, if you will.
Okay.
By law.
Joe's going to have to win a few times to get to Vreeswijk. I don't think he can get past the second round.
N'Kobe Dean in round 1, and then either the winner of Fransky or Harold Jensen, which obviously is going to be Harold Jensen.
Yeah.
So
94%.
Yeah, last year Harold Jensen, who's probably 55.
Right.
He shot 47 out of 50 in this competition last year.
Right.
And lost.
Like he wasn't trying.
To Jameer. Jameer was 48 out of 50.
They were both super casual.
It was
like
both.
Harold had the kind of stroke that you never lose. I mean, he was just a pure
shooter.
Oh, it's
there.
And he could make that when he's 70.
But that's
who Joe has
but
to
Ray,
be.
But Ray, that's how the
Hammer
feels also about himself.
But you continue to fail. Like, you haven't gotten anywhere close
John,
to 94%.
What do they say about the third time? What do they say?
That you'll fail?
Ray?
The third time like you did
third
the first
time's
and second.
A charm.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
unlike John Ray.
Third time's going to do you some harm, I think.
Bad things happen in threes. That's another thing they said.
The one thing that I find interesting about this whole conversation is you seem to be already projecting yourself into the second round. Like, such a good point, Kobe. Dean's a 16 seed or something.
I don't know what he is.
He's certainly an athlete.
You know who's also an athlete, not at the pro level?
Hammer!
Athlete Stop right it. Here. Let's go to the phones.
Joe doesn't factor in the athleticism of those.
Athletes.
No, I bet you N'Kobe Dean's probably pretty darn good. He probably is.
I bet he can dunk.
Let's go to the – I'm sure he can dunk. Yeah. That I cannot do.
Dunking competition, N'Kobe versus Joe.
Oh, no. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
Hey, just for context, Ray, you might not remember this because you're not on the show every day, but last year's free throw shooting competition wound up in Joe having to have his nipples waxed. Mm. So I'm wondering what the waxing stakes are for this year.
Oh, that's a good question.
Wow. You know, Ken, we had not delved into this.
Yeah, no waxing, first off, and no West Wing. I'm not giving up either of them.
He cheated because he went and shaved everything.
You're right.
All I had to do was get the nipples waxed, which they were.
So weaselly.
But
Joe,
you did
so
shave.
Well, I made sure that I didn't give her a big target to shave all the other stuff.
Truly cheap. You cheapened it. and somehow we didn't pick up on the fact that there was only hair immediately surrounding the nipple.
I was surprised you didn't notice.
You took off the shirt, and it was like little burger patties over the nipples.
It really was.
Little burger patties of hair.
John, why are you looking at me? I have nothing to do with this conversation. I want no part of it, okay?
Ray is
a man of class.
Make sure you understood where we were coming from to describe
fully
the scenario.
You know what the thing is, Ken? Ray, and this is one of the many things I love about Ray. He still has Sister Mary whomever in fifth grade in his ear. Like, Ray is an
Sister Clara Ursula.
Yeah, upstanding individual, as raised by the nuns all those years ago. Not raised, but, you know, brought along in life.
Mm-hmm.
Mentored, matured by. Counseled by.
The Sisters of St. Joseph never leave your side. No matter how long you live, you never forget the Sisters of St. Joseph.
All right, Ken, what do you got on the Eagles or the Phils? Otani, what do you got?
Well, Ray, you're talking to the first person to publicly state that Hassan Reddick would not be an Eagle in 2024, and I did that last summer on these airways. So
you are patting yourself on the back a wee much now at this point on that point. You've made that point. Would you say, Ken, 16 times or 17 times now?
Well, every time somebody tries to find some silver lining of hope that Hassan Reddick is somehow going to play for the Eagles.
He might still be here. He still could, Ken.
John, I'll get something waxed if he's playing for the Eagles next year.
Are you sure about that? I mean, right now, as it stands, they've pushed back his bonus to where another team can pay it if they decide to take him on. But right now, $14.25 million in addition to a $1 million bonus, that is affordable for a great edge rusher. I'd be surprised if no one takes him up on that offer. The problem is he wants more than that. He wants the extension. He wants money guaranteed, and they're working through that part. I don't think it's out of the question that he could be an Eagle. But I don't want to be considered crazy either.
The other piece of it is what the Eagles want, right? So right now, if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would bet that this is a draft night trade to a team that doesn't get the edge guy that they want in the first round.
I think that makes sense.
Howie fleeces somebody, because that's what Howie does best. When they see Howie's calling the other GMs, they see it's Howie on the phone, they pause a second before they answer.
Ken, that could be. Give me an answer. Human, non-human relationship.
Most people probably only know it as a movie, but it was one of my favorite books of all time growing up as a kid. John Thornton and Buck in Call of the Wild.
Yeah, you got it, man. That's a good answer right there. Really good answer.
Love that book.
Yeah.
Did lots of projects on Call of the Wild. Anytime I could do a project on Call of the Wild,
was that, is that about fifth grade?
Yeah, fifth grade, elementary school. You could stretch it into sixth. Like, I do think I put on my dad's Navy uniform and pretended that I was, John Thornton.
Actually, now that I think about it, Ray can solve a problem. Ray, we were trying to figure out 2 weeks ago if Shane died at the end of Shane.
I don't think so.
Thank you.
Wasn't he just sort of rides off, right?
No, but he's shot,
but he's
and he slumps over. He dies.
So the difference is there's apparently a book and a movie difference.
Yes.
In the
movie, dies.
He's alive. We did this whole thing. We realized 2 hours into it. Like,
you realized.
Oh,
we were all talking about the movie,
well,
and you were
talking
about the
book.
Yeah. Who talks about the book, Shane?
I talk about the book. Okay. It came before the movie.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just...
There is a difference between books and movies. Do you realize in the original book of First Blood that became Rambo, hardly anybody's read the book, I suppose, except for me. In the book, Rambo dies.
Wow.
In the book, his mentor, the special forces officer who comes back, kills Rambo at the end.
No. Studio executive says,
why would he do that?
That's
no
how the book ends.
No
because
sequel.
Rambo is, the guy has come to the conclusion that Rambo is just, he's going to go through life and he's going to be a ticking time bomb.
Oh.
And he's going to. There's no going
to
be too no
dangerous
control.
To
he's
set a, that in
lost,
motion.
He's a lost cause.
Yeah.
He's a ticking time bomb. He's going to kill a bunch of people.
Huh.
I got to take him down. So the officer, whatever his name is, Colonel whatever, he kills Rambo at the end. And
didn't test well.
When they were getting ready to put the movie together,
the sequel.
Stallone said,
oh.
No. Stallone said, I don't die in movies. And if you think about it, Stallone has never died in one of his movies.
Wow.
And he said, I don't die in movies. He said, besides, this thing is going to be a big hit, and there'll be sequels, and we'll all make money.
Yeah, smart.
If you kill Rambo now, that we're
Tom Cruise is
money.
The same way.
So,
Tom Cruise refuses to
Rambo,
die in movies.
So Rambo lived. But in the original book, Rambo dies.
Wow. That's good knowledge.
No idea.
All right, Ray, let's take that knowledge and apply it to our fightin' Phils.
Mm-hmm.
2 days to opening day. What's top of mind for you when it comes to the Phillies this year? Obviously, this should be year three of them making the playoffs.
Yes.
Can't totally take it for granted, but seems very likely. What's top of mind for you?
If you're looking at all the people that are handicapping the National League, I mean, everybody has the Dodgers and the Braves as the two super teams. Right now I would probably put them ahead of the Phillies, but I certainly think the Phillies are going to be in the playoffs. And they play really well in October. So I think they're going to get there. The only thing that concerns me is – I think their rotation's really good. I think Sanchez could really be sort of a sleeper guy that comes in and really plays well for them, pitches well for them. I think there's a lot there with him that you might start to see this year when he puts it together. The only thing that concerns me is how are you going to shake out the bullpen? You know, who's going to be, you know, ultimately who's going to be the guy? I mean, Thompson, every time he's asked about it, Thompson, he seems fairly comfortable with the idea that from day to day it might be a different guy, that I'm not going to have a designated closer. That we got a lot of guys that can do the job. Okay, we'll see. I guess Alvarado would probably get the first call. But, Dominguez, you know, he's got to be good. I mean, Soto has got to be good. I mean, Hoffman has got to be good because they're all going to get some high leverage.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Situations. You know, I think Alvarado will probably get the bulk of it. But I wish, to me, you have some pretty good arms out there, but right now it just seems a little murky to me how Rob's going to use them. But I think they're going to be really good. I think they're going to be a playoff team for sure.
First off, you just did something I don't think any human's ever done, ever, in a minute. You called Rob Thompson, and you called Sir Anthony Dominguez. I've never heard either ever apply to either person, and you did it in one little batch right there. That's unbelievable. Everybody calls him Sir Anthony. Everybody calls him Rob Thompson. Give him a Thompson. All right. So we'll see, Ray. Look, I agree with you. They got to figure that out. They got a long time. One thing they still have time to figure out, although at some point Jordan Montgomery will be off the market. But he's still available. Taiwan Walker, of course, with his issue right now. We don't know how long it'll linger. Let's listen to Jim Salisbury. He was talking yesterday to Joe and Hugh in the midday show, and Salisbury talked about the Jordan Montgomery situation.
The Phillies, it just seems, have been very, very reluctant. You know, they've talked about him. They like him. They understand what he could do for them. Probably more of a need now with a guy down. You know, that said, they have a reluctance to jump over that third tier of the luxury tax, which the signing of Montgomery would do. And I don't even know if it's so much the tax and the money as it is the impact it could have on draft position, international signings, et cetera, because they need to get young players, continue to procure young players to sustain this thing. So, you know, if he's still out there come midseason, you know, we'll see. It seems like he could be one of those hired gun types.
So we'll see where that goes. An interesting point, though, about trying to protect the future
of the luxury tax is something I hadn't heard mentioned before.
Well, I agree with you on that. I agree with that. I hadn't heard that. But the other thing that I thought was very interesting, maybe astute in there from Jim Salisbury, was this concept of protecting the future with young players and not giving up draft picks by signing players. You know, maybe John Middleton looks at it and says, you know, I remember when we were really good, you know, 10, 12, 14 years ago, whatever it was, that run. And then, you know, they stunk. You know, they got all these players, the veteran players, and then the whole bottom fell out from the Phillies organization. Or do they try to protect against that?
So there is one. Jordan Montgomery does not have draft pick compensation with him. Snell did. That was an issue with the Snell thing. Montgomery doesn't. Now, there might be international money attached, which Salisbury also mentions, but there is no they don't lose a draft pick if they sign Montgomery.
What happens to him here, James? I mean, the season starts in 2 days. Technically, it already started last week when the Dodgers played overseas. Is this guy ever going to sign?
Yeah, I think someone will sign him eventually. Whether it's another injury, if a team loses a guy. I know the Garrett Cole thing, they thought the Yankees would sign him. They didn't. But I think a team will get desperate and sign him eventually. But it might be, you know, remember Dallas Keuchel, what was that, June or something like that?
I think so.
Yeah, so I it could linger. I don't expect it to linger that far, but it could.
Yeah, it could. All right, let's go to the phones, talk to Scott right now. He's calling from Delaware. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Scott.
Good. Hey, Ray, great to hear you on the radio.
Oh, nice to be here, Scott. Thank you.
So I'm super excited for the Philly season this year. I'm as excited as I think I've been in a long time. In terms of the Jordan Montgomery thing, I think I'd probably ride the situation out for now and see where it lands. But I'd rather stick with their guns and maybe see what happens at the trade deadline, see how the season's shaking out at that point. I didn't know what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, listen, ordinarily I would say go get the best players you can and go get them right away. But, you know, they spend so much money. I can't be in a bad mood that they don't sign this guy.
I agree.
You know, it sounds weird because we're so used to, for so many decades, rightfully so, righteously complaining about the Phillies not spending enough. But I'm cool.
I'm with you. They're spending the money, so you can't accuse them of that. The other thing I wanted to point out, too, is this new tackling rule in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I saw the videos. I don't get it. I mean, I just think it's too much. I know you want to reduce injuries and everything like that, but I don't know. I don't really like the rule. I didn't know what you guys thought.
I agree. I want to get Ray's call on that one. Scott, give me an answer. Human, non-human relationship. This is for the Phillies tickets.
How about, has Elliot and E.T. been said?
Has been said, yes.
How about John Connor and the Terminator in Terminator 2? Wow.
I was waiting all show for a great answer.
That is a big answer. And it's non-human. John Connor and T2. Okay.
Really like that.
Good stuff.
Becomes the father he never had. Remember that moment when she's looking around, she talks about how?
Yes, I do remember that. All right, Ray, what's the answer on this new NFL rule? You can't drop your body weight with the hip to tackle the guy that you got sort of wrapped up and you just deaden your weight and bring him down and you fall on the guy's legs.
Right.
We all know in theory it sounds great to try to prevent injuries, but from a practicality standpoint, two questions. One, how enforceable will this be by referees in the moment to actually call it accurately?
Mm-hmm.
And two, is this good for pro football, entertainment value?
Okay. No and no. No and no.
It's simple.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff at the competition committee to me makes no sense. It seems to me that they pass rules that are passed. They pass rules. People are passing these rules are people like never played football.
Exactly.
I don't know how you.
They haven't tried to do these things that they are assuming are easy to do physically. Like some of these things don't make sense.
They don't. It doesn't make sense to me at all. I mean, I'll tell you one of the things that's at work here, Joe, and nobody's going to admit this. They're worried about scoring in the NFL. Scoring has gone down each of the last 3 years. And everything, and I can tell you from having been at NFL Films for 12 years and having sat in on a lot of meetings, everything is about driving scores up, 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 because they think that's what TV viewers want. They think they want higher scoring games. Believe it or not, fantasy football plays into it. The people want yards, they want touchdowns, they want points. So when they see points declining, which they have for the last 3 years, immediately they say, how can we get more scoring back in the game? Okay, well, why don't we make a league that's already a bad tackling league worse? Let's do that. Let's see how that works out, because that's what you kind of got. I don't know how. One of the things that's going to be a byproduct of this is you're going to have officials on the field that are going to have to be, again, trying to make these judgment calls about intent. What's he trying to do? Was he trying to hurt the guy? Is that really what he wanted to do? On the fly? Are you kidding me? I mean, if you have a 190-pound safety trying to wrestle down a 250-pound tight end down the seam, you're just trying to get him on the ground.
Yeah.
You're not worried about anything other than just trying to get him on the ground. So now if you're the referee, okay, is that what he did? Is that what he intended to do? How do you judge that? And, you know, it's going to lead to more penalties, more questions, more replays where people are going to be saying, that's not that. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. The game comes to a dead stop.
Yeah.
I hate it. I mean, you can't argue against the idea of trying to make it a safer game. I mean, who could be opposed to that? I want that, too. But do it within the realm of common sense. To me, this is not common sense.
I mean, this would be like a boxer said, all right, you box, but you're not allowed to hit the guy in the head. Oh, okay. I mean, some sports, it is what it is. Boxing's violent. Football's violent. Hockey's got violence. I will always contend hockey has gone down with most of the removal of violence. I mean, it's my belief. Now, I understand there was legal issues at play, and I get it. It stinks for a 23-year-old who's a skilled hockey player to be jumped. No one wants that for their kid if you got a 23-year-old kid. I mean, I know it was Mary Lemieux's complaint. Well, everyone's always holding me, clutching me, grabbing me, not letting me be the skilled player I am. And I empathize with that. But I also know this. I watch more hockey in the 1990s than in the 2010s, in the 2020s. Just, it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these sports, I mean, I just feel like football, man. I mean, and if I'm a guy like Montana, I'm like, you know what? If I got to start over today with the rules, maybe I'd get 7 Super Bowls.
You probably would.
You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, Joe Montana, like, that's the one – I'll say this. That's the one argument about Montana versus Brady that I feel like we'll never really have an answer to, from the standpoint of if Joe Montana got to play with the rules Tom Brady played most of his career with, maybe he does get to 7 rings.
Yeah. Yeah, I've it's really funny. Probably the question that I am asked more by people is – who is the greatest quarterback of all time? I mean, I get that question all the time. And my answer is, if you had to pick based on an entire career accomplishments, body of work, it's got to be Brady, right? Certainly, in terms of the records, the yards,
yes,
the touchdowns, the wins, the championships, MVPs in his 40s. Yeah, you'd say it's got to be Brady. But then I turn it around to the person and I say, okay, let me ask you this. If tomorrow is the Super Bowl and you're the coach and you can pick one quarterback out of all the quarterbacks that have ever played to play that game for you, who would you pick?
Yeah.
In my view, I would pick Montana. Okay. So while I will say, you know, Brady's the greatest.
And Mahomes has entered the conversation. Let's not forget that also.
I'm surprised by your answer.
I'm not.
I'm so surprised that you would go Montana over Mahomes.
Yeah, I would.
Like, you, Patrick Mahomes, my gosh, can probably throw the ball twice as hard, twice as far, twice as, you know, maybe not accurately. The skill set is ridiculous.
Absolutely. I agree with all of that.
But, Joe, so you just feel Joe Montana had that something? that
he played
made
his,
him special.
He played his best in the biggest game. And if I had to win one game, it would be him. So if that's my conclusion, aren't I saying he's the greatest?
It's a way to say it.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there are two different ways of looking at the same question. But if you're saying, give me one game and I'll pick one quarterback,
yeah.
I'll take Joe because he was in four Super Bowls, won all of them.
Right.
MVP three times, 122 passes, zero interceptions.
Yeah.
When in the biggest moment, he was at his best. That's the guy I want.
215-592-9494. More with Ray up ahead, plus time's yours. And Ohtani, what he said yesterday, we'll get to that as well on 94 WIP. Hey, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook and how you can get involved. Obviously, as college basketball comes down the stretch now with 2 weeks to go, say goodbye to busted brackets because FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, lets you bet on every game of the tournament. 15 games to go on the men's side, 15 games to go on the women's side. You know, whether you bet on a big upset or a one seed, it's time to go dancing with America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. And right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets. $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So many ways to bet and games to bet them on. Lock it in with FanDuel.com. Come on out tomorrow to Villanova if you can. WIP's Full Court Frenzy. Show starts at 6. Doors open at 6:30. Parking right there, right outside the pavilion. At the garage, Ithan and Lancaster Avenue. Concessions open at 7. Shooting begins at 7. You can participate in it. Half-court shot. You can play in it. You can win it. 8 o'clock big game and knockout. You can play in it. You can win it. You got to be there, obviously, to be chosen at random for those two competitions. Around 8:40, the free throw shooting contest. Bracket style, where we'll see how far the hammer can advance and who ultimately wins. It all is to benefit Coaches versus Cancer and the great effort they do to raise money for the American Cancer Society. So if you get a chance, please donate at phillycvc.org. Direct donations, phillycvc.org. Let's also get to today's Twitter poll question of the day.
Twitter poll question of the day, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Minor fender bender or major accident, Armin Chevrolet's Collision Center will make it right. Certified service, arminchevy.com.
All right, Sean, I have the results here to this ridiculous question. Will the Hammer win the free throw shooting competition tomorrow? Yes or no? Where do you think people voted on this one?
16% say yes.
10%
wow.
say yes.
Wow.
I was on to something.
I'll take that.
Good.
Ray, I'll take a 10%.
You're not gonna.
You know, if it's good enough for Maurice Cheeks' uniform number, good enough for John LeClair's uniform number, it's good enough for the Hammer to,
the
know.
Sixers. The Sixers
were they, were they
0.10
was their uniform number? I didn't know that.
0.10, what does that mean?
It's 10%, buddy.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at you.
Think about that.
Although I saw one of the kids in the tournament, or maybe it was NBA. I don't remember if it was tournament or NBA. I think it was tournament the other day, with the 00. Ray, I've always been trying to figure out. I mean, when the kid says, yeah, I'll take uniform number 00, I mean, you got to think, you got to examine the kid's head. What, who wants to be 00, Ray?
Bryce Huff. Is Bryce, is he
zero? I think it's just a single zero.
But zero is one thing. Double zero? You got to make the equipment guy put an extra zero on there?
Yeah.
I don't think he's stitching it on himself.
Yeah,
I think it looks cooler when it's two
Kevin
zeros.
Kevin Duckworth was a bum.
Okay, sure.
No, well, I'm just kidding.
Joe, let me just very quickly.
He
here.
Was kind of a slug out there, though, Kevin
he's
Duckworth.
A, he's a big boy.
Very quickly.
He was, yes.
Who lies ahead in the brackets? If you somehow get past Harold Jensen, who else is
see, this is where Chip Kelly would say, this is why I don't deal with hypotheticals.
Right. If I get past N'Kobe Dean and then get past likely Harold Jensen, then I like my chances to get to the finals.
Whoa.
Because then I would face one of the following four. John Brazier, Barrett Brooks, Ruben Amaro, Ashlyn Sullivan.
I love that you didn't end up in that bracket. It's so much
better.
Oh, that would
have been great. That would have been great. But I'll tell you, if I get past N'Kobe Dean and Harold Jensen, sign me up for the finals. And then I'll obviously 50-50 shot to cut the Nets down.
Is that how it works? It's 50-50. Is that how it works? You're bad at math right now.
Why am I bad at math?
Because you're going up against someone who's probably better than you. If you're going up against Mike Vrieswijk, it's not a 50-50 shot that you win, is the point.
Maybe Vrieswijk gets – I want to play Mike Quick in the finals.
Okay.
Yeah, I want Quick to beat Vrieswijk, and then bang, take him
So you think you can beat Mike Quick?
I think I can beat him all.
After he had just beaten Mike Vrieswijk, sure.
We'll see. All right.
That's a little haughty right there. That was haughty, Hammer.
It's a lot haughty.
You – and look, Mike quit.
I'm probably going to be out in the second round.
Overconfident?
Well, I mean,
you're probably going to be out in the first round is what's really going
to
happen.
All right, let's, by the way, let's parlay this over to the Sixers and Flyers, who are both trying to get to the first round. So let me give you the update on where everyone stands. So the Sixers, after the loss last night, are the 8th seed. They are a game and a half behind Indiana, who's the 6th seed. And there are 10 games left. So a game and a half back at Indiana. Obviously, as the 7, 8, 9, or 10, they would have to play one or two games in order to then get to be the official 7 or 8 seed. Excuse me, 7 or 8 seed, and then face either Boston if they're the 8 seed or Milwaukee if they're the 7 seed in the playoffs. So we'll see. Obviously, you know, so much of this depends on Joel, and it's now March 26th, and there's still no, you know, semblance of when he'll play.
Ray, he's practicing with the team.
Yeah, I know. Ray, Sixers thought. Where are you right now, Sixers?
Well, the ceiling ain't much. You know,
I even mean, with Joel?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. I think that, you know, I think they could very well not make it. And if they do play their way in, I think, you know, I think they go out in first round.
I do too.
Yeah, I just don't think they have time to get it together.
Now, obviously, the hope is that they get that 6th seed. Gives them a couple extra days for Joel to be ready to go. And then you play Cleveland in the, you know, what we can call the first round, if you want to call it the first round, 6 versus 3.
And you avoid Milwaukee and Boston, which would be huge.
And then you get 2 extra weeks for Joel to get right before you play.
It's just hard to believe they're going to leap Miami and Indy to get that spot the way they've looked.
Where some of these losses are hurting them.
Yeah.
Because this was an achievable path, and they're just falling apart. Granted, they had that ridiculous win over the Clippers the other day. But
why is it ridiculous? They outplayed
because
them.
The Clippers probably didn't try their hardest.
Well, they did shoot like 50% from three,
yeah,
which is helpful.
The Clippers came back and I think tied the game or whatever it was, and then like the Sixers surged ahead again. The whole game was so weird. All right, Flyers update. Here's where they are. Flyers right now are 3rd in their division. They are 3 points up on a playoff spot. 10 games to go, 3 points up on a playoff spot. Ray, you flyered up yet?
I actually was at the game the other night. I was at the game the other night that they played against Florida. Which was a shame because they had played really good against Boston the previous day.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was probably asking a lot that they could go Boston, Florida back to back and get 4 points out of that. That's probably asking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But after they beat Boston, I thought, yeah, maybe. And I'll tell you this, even though, I mean, you look at the score, if all you did was you saw the score 4-1, it would look like they got dominated. They didn't. They actually outplayed Florida. But their goaltender just let them down. You know, Florida's goaltender, who used to be a Flyer, Stolarz, played great, and Sandstrom was terrible.
Led in
a couple of really bad goals, and it got him beat. But in terms of the overall play, I mean, the Flyers outshot them 2-1, and they played really well. They lost the game in the goal. That's
Ray, where are you on the Tortorella thing? I mean, obviously he's doing a good job with the club, you know, exceeding expectations.
Right.
But, man, he seems difficult. And
He's always been that.
I want to get behind this guy and be like, yeah, Tortorella, you know, but, like, is he likable?
No. But he doesn't have to be. I mean, he's not coaching you. He's coaching the team. So the question is, was he getting the most out of his players? And I would say he is. But anybody that's known John's history, I mean, that's what he is. I mean, he's an abrasive kind of guy who tends to wear out his welcome. But he wins, but he wears out his welcome. I don't know, Joe. I kind of have a feeling. I have a feeling that he might be done with coaching after this year.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, just a feeling I get. I think he still loves the game. I just don't know if the day-to-day part of it is exactly for him.
Is this some inside scoop?
Jeez.
I mean, this is like an out of left field.
That's what I just said. It's out of left field.
What's going on?
It should have been helpful before the update, Ray.
No.
Ray Dittinger reports.
Yes.
No. And I don't want to start some kind of a groundswell. Not that there's a tremendous groundswell about hockey in this town. But I just kind of got the feeling, just looking at Tortorella now, because he has talked in the last couple of years, even in previous stops, that he kind of wants to be a front office guy. He kind of wants to be a front office guy and kind of help shape the direction of an organization.
What's an easier life?
And so he's certainly a hockey lifer. But I think the coaching part of it is wearing on him.
Hmm.
So I could see him moving into the front office. I think he's going to stay here. Because I think he likes this team, and I think he likes working with Jonesy and Briere.
Yeah.
But I could see him moving into a director of hockey operations thing,
well,
and then them going out and getting another coach.
All right, let's try to get a few more calls in here as we approach the top of the hour. Joe and Hugh at that time. Mike in Mullica Hill. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Long time no talk, man.
What's up, Mike?
Welcome back aboard.
Hey, well, you know, I'm really pumped because the Phillies start Thursday, and I just can't wait. I expect great things. I know everybody's worried about pitching and stuff, but, you know, we had the same pitching crew last year, and we got to where we got. Our bats fell asleep.
I'm not worried at all, Mike, about pitching. What I'm trying to figure out is, and I'm not making this up, why did I have a dream about Christopher Sanchez last night? I don't know.
That's weird.
That is weird.
What was the dream about?
I don't know. I just know.
Just remember, he was in it.
Wechter mentioned Christopher Sanchez. I don't have anything on you for this. I got nothing. I just know Wechter said to me the name Christopher Sanchez around 5:30. I was like, oh, that reminds me. I dreamed about him last night. Dreamt about him.
Please tell me you weren't in a bath.
No, no.
Okay, thank you.
No bath.
Thank you so much.
No.
Yes, that's awesome. Yo, so you guys are doing great in the morning show. I listen to you all the time. I can't really call as often as I like, but I like how you guys fit right in there with Rhea. She doesn't take your stuff. That's wonderful. Ray, I hope you're enjoying your retirement, even though you're on the radio a lot.
Mike, just once a month. It just seems like I'm on more often. That's all.
Unless, Mike, we can, you know, get him to do a little more. We'll see.
Yeah, that would be nice because he has much more inside information than you have.
Hey, listen, he's got more everything than me. He's got the whole package. All right, give me a great answer.
That also.
Mike, human, non-human relationship. What do you got?
Shazbach, Nanu, Nanu, Mork, and Mindy.
All right, you got it. Not a bad answer at all. Speaking of answers, we'll get the answers to what Times Yours is saying today. That's up ahead in 1 minute's time. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie.
How's that bracket treating you? Why not live bet all the tournament games on the Bet Park Sportsbook app? Bet while you watch the action. This is the best time of year. College hoops hysteria, plus baseball and golf are back. Bet Parks is an official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Download the only sportsbook app I ever recommend, the Bet Parks Sportsbook and Casino app, and get in on the tournament action. Plus, play all your favorite casino games, too. Bet parlays, teasers, over-unders, and so much more. Make futures bets right now on who wins it all. A $25 wager on Philly baseball to win the whole shebang pays $375. New users make your first winning $10 sports bet get $125 in sportsbook bonus back. The Bet Parks app is the only casino and sports betting app that I use myself and that I recommend. It's safe, secure, and easy to use. BetParks.com has the terms and conditions. You must be 21 and in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Ohio, or Maryland. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, time is yours. Brought to us by Andy Reid. No, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Discover the nation's best-kept secret and switch to Xfinity Mobile, now at the best price for two lines of unlimited. Let's hit it with time's yours.
There is no way Otani didn't know what was going on with his best friend. I've known my best friend for over 30 years, and I love my best friend. And I wouldn't give him access to the $10 that I have in my savings account. Time's yours.
Maybe, maybe not. I mean, you got to remember, he's got people around him, and he might have leaned on this guy quite a bit. We'll see what the investigation ultimately shows.
The way Joe is crushing Devin and make for being 30 seconds late with a legit excuse that she got pulled over and wear his Phillies costume, as Richie calls it, he needs to show up to opening day in a clown suit and make sure he covers those tiny little feet with gigantic clown shoes for all the Mondays and Fridays that he misses.
Okay, I have a response to that. An official response.
Stifle yourself.
Yeah, knock that nonsense off.
Richie, I got one request. This year for the foul shooting, can we refrain from yelling at his throwing the shots? It was very unfair last year. I think he got robbed from your yelling. It was kind of below mediocre. Let's keep it clean this year, all right, bud? Thank you.
I don't think I was yelling.
Wasn't yelling.
Yeah, I was whistling. Yeah. And it did create a big problem.
And you enjoyed it
people
immensely.
Hated it. But I do think it had an impact on Joe. So I am at a crossroads here. It's a tough spot.
Let me just say this, James, to you and John for tomorrow and Rhea. I just would like to say there is a radio show to do while activities happen.
I'm
out
with
there
you. I tried to rein it in last year, and there was no reining it in. Okay. It didn't work
at all. John can do whatever he wants, but I'm just saying, remember, the audience.
I appreciate it because I did not. I thought John went too far, and then after you're like, shoot or shoot, man, you were fine with it.
Clearly,
so
look.
Respect.
All right.
I don't think Ohtani's guilty of anything. He's just a really nice guy. Apparently, Bryce Harper asked to borrow some money from him, and he freely gave it to him.
Oh, look at that. He made a funny. And with that, Time's Yours, we shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, so Ohtani yesterday flatly denied it. Matter of fact, let's listen to Ohtani with the denial. This is through his now new interpreter, with a clear denial of him doing anything wrong.
I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
I hope he's telling the truth right there. I really do. By the way, Pete Rose, believe it or not, weighs in. This is not a joke, through a friend of his, and then Pete Rose going on the record.
Hey, guys, Matt Thrash here, enjoying some March Madness with my great friend Pete Rose. And we were talking about the current goings-on in baseball right now, and Pete wanted to mention something.
Well, back in the 70s and 80s, I wish I'd have had an interpreter. I'd be scot-free.
There you have it from the Hit King.
Unbelievable. All right, Ray, every once in a while, I'd say maybe once or twice a year, I ask you to go into the voice of your good friend, Stan Hockman.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
What would Stan say in response to what Pete just said right there?
Stan would probably say, Pete, you should just stay out of this. Anything you say will just be a disaster.
Well done, Ray.
Disaster.
I'll tell you what. There was no bigger Pete Rose guy than Stan Hockman.
Really?
Stan loved Pete Rose. Mm. I mean, from covering him during his great days with the Reds, Stan was a huge advocate of the Phillies bringing him here. And when he came here, every time he went in the clubhouse, it was Stan and Pete would be off in the corner just yakking, talking about anything. I mean, they were really tight. But when it came out that Pete was betting on baseball, Stan wanted nothing to do with him.
Wow.
And Stan was very adamant about no Hall of Fame.
Hmm.
And, I mean, Stan was an absolutist. I mean, he was a guy that the rules of baseball are the rules of baseball, and they should apply to everybody. And I love Pete Rose, great player, obviously the all-time hit king, but he crossed the line, and he should not be in the Hall of Fame.
Ray, great having you in here today.
It was my pleasure.
Pre-draft, we'll crank it up again. All right, we got to come up with a winning answer here for Phillies tickets on the line, human, non-human relationship from a book, a movie, a TV show, whatever. All right, some big answers through the show. Mork and Mindy was said. Dorothy and Toto is a big one. I thought Timmy and Lassie was a great answer. I mean, we're going back about 70 years, but a great answer. Shaggy and Scooby-Doo, another notable answer. It's too bad the one guy blew it when he said R2-D2 and Han Solo. All right, what do you think?
I thought
here?
John Connor and the Terminator.
Oh, and
that's another good one. Yeah.
Yep, that's another.
I thought Dorothy and Toto.
I think John, Dorothy and Toto, and Timmy and Lassie.
Rhea, what do you say?
I loved Mork and Mindy. That was my favorite. It's so funny.
I kind of like Timmy and Lassie.
I don't.
It's old school.
I mean, it's great.
The best one.
Yeah, but it's 2 hours. Timmy and Lassie was.
That was a franchise.
Yes.
Yeah, it means.
Seems like Ray's in on Timmy and Lassie.
Ray. What? Is it Timmy and Lassie for the winning answer?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's Timmy and Lassie.
James, which one are you?
I can't argue with Ray. I was between the two, but I'm good.
Timmy, and well, you're
I was Mork and Mindy, but I bow down. You know, Ray wants Timmy and Lassie, gets Timmy and Lassie.
All right, congratulations to our caller, Bob. He'll join us at